we go. Let's just do it. This.
Let's just do this shit. Happy 2016. I'm kind of psyched about this year.
Congratulations. You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
We made it. It's another year.
It's another year.
It'll be 2030 in a mere 14 years.
Oh my God.
Can you believe that?
Are you superstitious at all about the new year? You do resolutions.
I do goals.
Do you burn paper?
I don't. Like that. I wish I did.
I did read a crazy book.
You read a whole book?
Yeah.
Like with a cover and everything?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Was it by a Bay Area writer?
It was by LA, but she's from Bay.
Okay, let's
Miranda
hear about
July.
It. Oh, okay. Oh, her new one?
Her new one
What's
is
it
fucking
called?
Weird.
Like Cats I've Dreamed About and My Quilting Bee?
No, it's called This Third Guy, The Third Man.
The first Bad Man?
Called The First Bad Man.
That's right.
And honestly, listeners, I would love for you all to read it and talk to me about it.
Do you just need like a support group?
I it started off in the first maybe at least third to half of the book was really kind of in this very Miranda July style, quirky, unusual characters doing weird things that you could relate to in some like secret world of your own that you don't ever admit to and laugh out loud, those kinds of things, which are always like really nice to read about and hear about. But then it just took this kind of weird, dark, fucked up turn, which I guess could also be
real. Should we give a spoiler alert?
I don't know.
Are you going to reveal some plot points? You can just tell me. I'm illiterate, as you know, so I probably won't read it.
Yeah, so in the middle of the book, she
gets... Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, everyone. Mm-hmm. The owners of the company she works for are called Open.
The protagonist?
The protagonist.
It's not autobiographical, right?
No. It's fiction. Total fiction.
Okay.
Her name is Cheryl.
Sure enough.
She
love it.
She gets a roommate who's a 20-year-old, who's the 20-year-old daughter of her bosses. And she's like the worst kind of kid. I mean, she just like plops in front of the TV, like sleeps in a sleeping bag. You know, she's just not interested in, she doesn't clean. She's a total pig, you know, it's like a total pigsty. And then they end up having these like, they start reenacting self-defense videotapes that the company is a self-defense company for women. They start reenacting those self-defense tapes where one character, like the daughter, the young girl is usually the young woman is usually the attacker, and the old like 50-year-old woman, dowdy, boring, you know, totally like boring woman is the victim.
Oh, I see.
And then they get into these like real physical fights, like really intense physical fights, and then they become lovers.
What?
And you're just like, what? I mean, so it just kind of was in this weird, like, where the fuck is this book going way, you know?
And they start doing it?
It's more complicated than that.
What do you mean?
It's just sort of like, it just gets, there's so many layers.
Soon do they...
They do.
They do it.
Yeah. I don't think there was a dildo involved or anything. Sorry. I mean, the way it's described in the book is that... No, believe me. There is very graphic language.
Oh,
incredibly
good.
Graphic language in this
book.
That
was going to be my next
but
question.
But this is all fantasy. The graphic part is... I mean, it's just like, it's disturbing.
Okay, yeah. Real spoiler alerts here, people. Well, sounds great. I'm going to read it.
It's a very easy read. I read it in 3 days. Done. I don't know if maybe I'm not like enough of like an older woman who didn't have kids to kind of really understand. I don't know, or who had kids
to understand how
to
you
really
need to start
understand.
Having sex with your self-defense partner slash roommate slash daughter of your bosses.
Slash daughter? Yeah. Fucking weird.
Okay, so other reading that we did over our break. Okay, Maysoon, bad news.
Yep.
The ACLU is coming after BART because BART has been censoring a muralist over doing some art over by 16th Street BART station in the Mission. The artist's name is Victor De La Rosa. Yeah, there were four sections of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all about gentrification.
Specifically in the Mission.
And one panel had Mickey Tiny Loca Martinez saying, "Bitch, you're not from here."
Mm-hmm.
And Bart,
with a bunch of other phrases. Mm-hmm. It's like techies versus hipsters.
Yeah, start up, forced out, moved on, fed up, cleaned up, bust in, bought off, and taken over.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Sounds pretty badass.
Yeah.
And Bart was like, oh, this doesn't, like, I think they using their standards that they use for advertising.
Oh, uh-huh.
And they,
which you can't do for art. That's
bitch
not appropriate.
Was profane.
Right.
And they thought the whole thing had a confrontational tone.
Which is okay.
And that they have standards where people aren't allowed to use language that demeans or disparages an individual or group of individuals. And I was just like, I don't know. You know what's fucking demeaning is getting kicked out of your fucking neighborhood and losing your community.
Right. Well, and it sounds like the poster that they wanted to censor or not include in the installation was the most confrontational, or like the most kind of like forward,
the most in your face part of it.
Yeah. Which is, you know, and so the artist basically was like not going to have any part in modifying the poster, changing the language, and also didn't agree to have just the three posters.
Yep.
Shown. They're like, no, the fourth poster is part of this conversation.
That's badass.
Which is awesome. Because I mean, I think the fourth poster shows the more negative side of what's happening in the mission. Maybe there were, they didn't talk at all about the other three posters, which is right. Kind of annoying for an article, but.
Yeah.
You know, just to get
but
us a little.
Obviously, Bart didn't have an issue with those other ones.
Right.
I think it's cool that the ACLU comes. How do you get the ACLU to come and help you?
I don't
if you're
know.
An artist?
I wonder if the artist called them or.
Okay, we'll have contact information in the underworld for the ACLU artists.
Yeah.
Get the ACLU with you.
Yeah.
Fuck
censorship,
yeah.
Man. Fuck that bullshit.
Good job, ACLU. And good job and good luck to Victor De La Rosa. Were there protests about this?
They did a protest where they posted the posters anyhow where they were going to go. They just we-pasted them up, and then the artist and probably his friends or people that are part of the project stood by at the 16th Street BART station and fielded questions and had conversations and dialogues. And he was like, this is what this is fucking about.
That was on SF Gate, an article titled BART Accused of Censoring Artist's Work on Gentrification in San Francisco by Michael Cabanaton.
I was reading in the East Bay Express earlier this week that the 7th annual Fresh Festival.
What is that?
Is coming up. It's a dance.
How fresh is it?
I know, right? It's fresh. All cap fresh.
Oh, shit.
It's 3 weeks. It's usually only been, I think in the past, it's been only 1 week. And ooh. So this year it's 3 weeks, January 3rd through 23rd. And it's basically a dance festival of performances and workshops with all these incredible Bay Area dancers and choreographers.
How do you get tickets?
It's through the performances, and the workshops are happening at the Joe Good Annex.
Okay.
Which is SOEX's original space.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah,
so
yeah,
it's
yeah.
In the Mission. I think if you look up Fresh Festival,
I'll have a link down in the underworld.
We can have a link. But it sounds awesome, and actually one of my favorite dancers is teaching a workshop.
Ooh.
That I'm excited about.
Ooh.
His name is Sherwood Chen.
Ooh,
love
are you gonna go?
Him. I want to. Except
okay,
for think,
listeners,
I think
if you want to dance with me soon,
dang, I can't wait.
Oh my god, go to this workshop.
But he does this crazy. His workshop is all body weather.
Excuse me.
Let me explain this to you. Body weather. It's based. I think it's based off of like Japanese butoh performance.
Okay.
Or movement. But it's a series, they have a description here, a series of sensory exercises meant to develop kinesthetic awareness and challenge the body's limits. And it's the kind of class where you literally have to bring two changes of clothing because you sweat so much through like the first half of class that you have to change for the second half, which is not as physically intense.
Whoa.
It's fucking awesome. It like blows your mind in a way where you're like, you're just pushing your body so hard that you reach the next level. Mentally, a little
you
bit.
You like transcend
kind of
your human mind.
Yeah, I took a summer workshop with him probably 8 years ago, and I've like bemoaned the fact that he like hasn't been in town for all these years. He's been like traveling in Paris and working at other places.
Maysoon, you better go.
So I'm like, oh my god, Sherwood's back. I have to go.
Yeah, you got to go to that, and you too should go, listener. There was was a little kerfuffle out in North Beach. Read about this one on our old pal Hyperallergic. Anyhow, an artist had an installation out in North Beach where they were selling cans that were labeled Sky Rat Boiled Parrot with a cute little picture of a parrot's face on the front. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing is, Maysoon, we've got parrots out here, huh, in San Francisco?
We've got parrots, yep.
I know there's a shit ton over on the Embarcadero in those tall trees.
Where's, I think, is it Telegraph Hill or Knob Hill where there's they like the like parrots of Telegraph parrots. Hill, I think, yeah.
So apparently people were taking this very seriously because they were thinking about their beloved San Francisco parrots.
Some of the comments are really funny in that article.
People had a fucking shit fit. This was like one of the most San Francisco responses to an artwork that I can imagine. Because you got fucking, if you have, you know, shit. You got SFAI showing like M. Lamar's work where people are like, you know, getting stuff shoved up their asshole and like being tortured or whatever, you know, and that's all fine. And that should be fine. And I'm totally, that's awesome. But God forbid you boil a parrot. I don't know.
Don't
I'm really
boil a parrot.
I'm vegetarian. I'm totally behind animal rights, but I think it was pretty apparent that this was fake.
It's really apparent that it's fake. It's hysterical. There's like a great the display and it's like a storefront, you know, with two there's two types of parrot, by the way.
Cherry Conyers in their own syrup and boiled parrot in
so
gravy.
Gnarly. Right, so there's two kinds of birds. Mm-hmm. And there's these little, you know, pyramid can displays.
Oh, well, they also said that our tasty birds are wild caught in San Francisco's North Beach district, cooked and flash canned at the source.
Right.
So,
I mean, it's kind of grotesque, but they're making fun of like the San Francisco obsession with like food.
Yes.
And locality and seasonal and this, that, and the other, and organic and, you know, which I personally am all for making fun of. Even though I will admit to being that person a lot of the time, too.
Right. Can I read you a little comment from an offended passerby?
Yeah, there's some good ones.
The most disgusting thing I've ever seen in North Beach in the 25 years that I have lived here.
Like, really? No one's ever shit on your doorstep?
She also left them a letter. The venue is called Terrific Street.
Yeah, I don't know anything about them.
She also said, "Your window display is a disgrace. Not at all funny, if that's what you think it is. You're in the wrong neighborhood.
Ooh.
Shame on you."
So why didn't Bart ban her? And then there was a response to that letter. Read on.
Which said, "The jackass who wrote this note is what's destroying America. We'll shop here in principle from now on." That's a cute little slice of life.
Is that was kind of like an, I feel like that was sort of like old reporting.
My parents live in a town that's like 10,000 people.
Where like the paper has a lot of this.
The paper has the police blotter, whatever it's called. And they have things like that where it's like, you know, somebody lost their car and then found it.
Exactly. I kind of love that. It's so sweet. And I don't know, it's nostalgic feeling for me, even though I didn't grow up with that at all.
Yeah. What else you got for us, Mamie?
Yeah, our Sarah Hotchkiss put together an interesting list of visual arts happenings. And one exhibition of note that I thought was interesting was called Visions into Infinite Archives. And that takes place at Some Arts in San Francisco as part of their curatorial residency. And the show's curated by Oakland and LA-based Black Salt Collective. And it features 30 artists of color honoring the non-linearity of time. It's free. I was excited to hear that.
What did you say the dates already?
No, dates. Opens January 14th and goes through February 10th.
Here's an article. It's not a Bay Area show, but it's some semi-Bay Area related. Jonathan Katz. Remember him? He was in my top lectures because he gave that AIDS in American Art talk.
At Mills, yeah.
Remember how when he gave that talk, he was kind of complaining about how no one would take that talk kind of was also a show.
Yeah.
And how no one would take the show. And we were like, that's silly.
Yeah.
Well, for him to be like, you know.
Whining about that?
Yeah.
Whining about how no one wants to take, you know, a show that's about AIDS art or artists with AIDS.
Yeah, or artist making work about AIDS.
Artist, yes, exactly.
Anyhow, so turns out he is having the show, and it is touring, and it's at the Tacoma.
He was having the show museum. There. It was. He was just saying that it was. It was hard to get people to take the show.
I thought he was like trying to like shop the show around and nobody would take it.
No, I didn't get
so
that.
So it's going. It's happening.
It's happening. There's a couple locations.
But bad news, it sucks.
No, I wouldn't say it like that.
Kind of sucks. Protesters went and had a die-in there because it's not representative of the people that are most affected by AIDS, which is communities of color, people, especially black people.
There's a huge, I mean, there's in the article, there's a few pie charts where it shows there's 107 artists in the show and only 5 are African-American or black. And in the pie charts, it shows that actually somewhere around like 44 to 48%
percentage of people that have HIV who are black. It's a huge percentage.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. So,
and just the complaint is that the show does not reflect that reality at all. Based
on, of course,
on,
how ironic it is that the show that's about how art about AIDS was silenced, how artists with AIDS or making work about AIDS had to go kind of underground and kind of like secretly put that into their work because it was so taboo and censored. And then making a show about like censorship and silencing, but at the same time silencing a huge group of people.
Yeah.
So I just thought this was another article from Hyperallergic. And
it's a really, really good article.
Yeah, and the writer is Ted Kerr.
Detailed.
And I'll have a link to that in the underworld. Mm-hmm. And I was like, holy shit, you're totally right on.
I feel like Jonathan Katz is in the, I don't know him, obviously, just based on his lecture. I feel like his heart and mind are in the right place, but I feel like he should have had a different collaborator, maybe.
Yeah, the curator who was from the Tacoma Art Museum, this was their chief curator. His name is Rock Hushka, and the writer was definitely saying that he was a way bigger douchebag because he interviewed artists and they were saying that he made them super uncomfortable.
I know.
And like also got questioned at a Q&A about like representation in the show and why there were not very many black artists. And he was basically like, oh, just wait for the next show.
I know. What's that about?
I hate when curators can't stand up for their shows.
Yeah.
Like if you need to be able to stand up for at least say
it seems clear that they weren't thinking about that.
I feel like I've never heard anyone like be questioned about something like that and be like, you know what? You're totally right. Yeah. Like we fucked up. Like,
yeah,
we should have thought about that.
Yeah.
And I'm sad that we didn't.
Yeah. No, I'm all for admitting,
you know, and
fault.
Like maybe this will change how I approach things in the future.
Right.
So some of the demonstrators that protested at this show, they had a list of demands, and the group was called the Tacoma Action Collective, and these were 3 of their demands. More black staff at all levels of leadership at the museum, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Retraining museum staff and board on undoing institutional racism and greater black representation within the exhibition as it tours nationally. And it's going to go on tour, I think, in Brooklyn and some other places.
Mm-hmm.
I just think those are good demands for every institution.
I do, too.
So, good job. And great job to that writer, because that article was
very detailed.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Very
some
thorough.
Some points I was kind of like, meh. Like him calling out Jonathan Katz when Fire in My Belly by David Voinovich got censored at the Smithsonian.
He should have done more. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Is that not part of the Smith Zone?
No, is it?
Anyhow, point is, I feel like you can't... whatever. I didn't feel like Jonathan Katz was needed to get reamed for that so much, but every other point I was like, fuck yeah.
Jonathan Katz, we love you, but, you know...
Get right.
Get right, man. Work on it. It's important.
We all need to.
We all do.
We all need to. I do.
I definitely don't.
Oh, okay.
Just kidding. I'm kidding. Sorry. We got one more article here from KQED. Our writer,
Stephanie Martin Taylor.
Stephanie Martin Taylor.
She's on the actual radio.
Is she?
Oh, yeah.
I've never heard her. Basically, Presida Eyes Muralis, which is an incredible organization based in the Mission since 1977.
You can't miss it.
which is this great organization that's basically responsible for a majority probably of the murals in the Mission.
Like all the really famous ones.
Their building is for sale. The owner is putting the building up for sale. And he has been convinced by this community group, not Proceed Eyes, to actually potentially consider Proceed Eyes and the five people that live there to consider them buying the building.
Yeah.
Which is
and
awesome.
And they don't have to, the down payment is like $200,000. So they have to raise that.
They have to raise that.
But they have a great shot.
They have to raise that by the end of the month, which is kind of intimidating sounding to me.
Right.
Which is why we're telling you this, listeners.
And we'll have
today.
A link down in the underworld.
There will be a link to their fundraising campaign to help raise $200,000 so that they can buy their building and turn it into a co-op for the future, which is fucking awesome.
Got to do that everywhere.
And we got to do that everywhere.
It's on 24th Street.
It's on 24th Street.
Yeah.
In the heart.
The heart of the Mish.
In the heart of the Mish.
So we have a link down in the underworld. I really like this comment at the end of this article. You know, a lot of folks here, this is a quote. You know, a lot of folks here are sort of wringing their hands. How can we help my neighbor who I know is being threatened by the possible sale of their building? This is one way that you can actually help your neighbor. Caroline Feng.
Let's get them that building, people.
Another quick news item for you, listener. BayVac is taking applications for their next residency program.
Oh, woo.
It is the spring term of the residency.
What does that include? Do you know much about
all
that program?
All kinds of equipment. I think you get like a free class or several free classes there.
Do you get a studio there?
You get like a desk or something.
But I mean, you can use all their gear there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you don't have to take it
home.
Oh,
it's a sweet setup. They've got it all.
Cool.
Yeah. And classes that, yeah, are totally worthwhile.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Some other residents that they've had recently include our old pal Tom Comitta.
Oh, yeah.
The write a book in 5 minutes artist.
What was he doing there?
Writing some books or something. He's also like makes
so
software.
They're not
things.
Necessarily doing media.
Well, I think it's you
it
probably
like
want to be doing.
Yeah.
He makes like computer programs and stuff. He does all kinds. And Susie Cagle, who is an illustrator and does like digital illustrating stuff. Super cool. Super awesome.
Cool.
Like a. Illustration journalist.
Are you gonna sign up? Are you gonna apply for that?
No.
Sounds like it could be up your alley.
Totally. I hope to apply definitely in the future.
Cool. Great idea.
So check that out, listener. There's some sweet cats in this world. May soon, I noticed recently in a museum gift shop that there's a book going around called Artists and Their Cats. And the cover is a picture of Salvador Dali with his like ocelot or whatever fucking cat was.
Cool.
Of course. And there's some artists in there you wouldn't necessarily expect to be really into cats.
Such as?
Claude Cahun. Do you know Claude Cahun was like during like the Dadaists or the Surrealist in there in like Germany. And they were like genderqueer kind of.
I
like
totally expect them to have cats.
And had a really, really cute cat. Grandma Moses had a cat. Frida Kahlo, of course.
Yeah.
You know about Ai Weiwei's 6 million cats.
Did he? Oh, right.
He's got nothing but cats.
They don't come in the house, though, do they?
I think they can because one can open a door. One can use a doorknob.
Oh, cute. We're trying to train her to do that.
Your cat?
Pickles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Giacometti, you know Alberto Giacometti?
Yeah.
He had a brother who was also an artist. I think his name was Diego Giacometti.
I'm trying not to become more obsessed with cats.
If you have a cat, send us some pics. We'll take... That's our New Year's promise to you, is any cat pictures you send us, we'll look at them. And you can send them to congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. You can text us cat pictures at 419-351-6606 or tweet us your cat pics at Pine Tree Podcast.
What do you think? I've read a few articles recently about maybe it was on other podcasts or radio shows asking their listeners to let them know what the listeners want to hear discussed. You got are
that's,
there any
we do that constantly,
right? Well, do we ask them this?
Are you kidding
what
me?
Do you want to hear about?
Yes, all the time.
Are there any issues? Kate, obviously I'm not listening. I'm kidding.
Anyhow, go on.
But just like I was like, oh, that's good. Are there
should
like,
we ask the people what they want to hear?
Yeah,
Okay.
Are there any issues out there that we've covered maybe a year ago that you kind of want to follow up on, or any issues that you've heard about that we haven't covered at all that you want us to dig deep in for you?
Point is, though, you got to listen to every damn episode before you start telling us what to say.
So, good fucking point.
Just kidding. No, that's too much to ask.
So we'll just say that's episode 50. See ya.
Yeah. Well, the next episode is just going to be us like giving the table of contents.
I love it.
That's funny.
That's pretty good.
That's a good art project we could
That's
do.
Good.
Anyhow, from the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been Congratulations, Pine Tree.